Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Venezuela. Today we're discussing the World Warrior from Venezuela. With a couple of episodes under my belt, I am ready to make my first foray outside the Anglosphere into a country where English is not the predominant language. Unfortunately, I've got some very solid help from a listener today. But before we hear what a Venezuelan has to say about Venezuela, let's consult the Street Fighter core book, as always, and see what we can glean about South America from 1990s White Wolf writers, who are, of course, well known for their accurate and sensitive portrayal of peoples and cultures not their own. To quote, South America. South America's unexplored and mysterious jungles house exotic animals and plants, and equally exotic native tribes. Rumors depicting lost cities of gold and other remnants of ancient civilizations abound in the cafes and shantytowns along the waterways, tempting adventurous street fighters to quest for them. Tales of strange mutants also abound, but most street fighters know the truth between these tales. Blanca, the World Warrior. Crime can be found hidden in the jungles in the form of secret smuggler bases or ex-Nazi hideouts. Intrepid adventurers must brave the secrets of the jungle to bust these places. Another problem is the rapid development of the rainforest, wherein trees are cut down to make pastureland for cattle. This endangers world ecology and the very atmosphere. Yet the governments continue to sponsor such activities, richly rewarding those who can develop land the fastest. Rumors say that Shadaloo is behind this, although for what purpose is unknown. Presumably Shadaloo is just an all-purpose evil entity. Multifaceted, it's organized crime, it's a corporation, it's a government, it's just everybody. And sometimes they do evil for profit, and sometimes they do evil for fun. Just like Captain Planet villains. And in this case, at the board meeting, somebody was like, you know what, balance sheet looks good. Profits are up again, 10th year in a row. Our influence is growing. Shareholders are happy. The light of human hope is dying. What the fuck? Let's destroy the rainforest. By unanimous consent, the motion is passed. So that's what we know about South America from the Street Fighter core book. I somehow feel there might be more to South America and to Venezuela in particular. So we turn now to my collaborator this week, Azrael Arocha. Hold on, let me give his name the full gringo treatment. Azrael Arocha. He sent a really cool concept for a Street Fighter, and he has sent it in audio form because he's a podcaster himself.
Karina Araya comes from a family of fishermen and women from the Orinoco River. She was sent to Caracas, the capital city of Venezuela, to go to university and to live with her aunt, who ran a scrapyard place in Los Chaguaramos neighborhood. There, Karina worked after school as a tire remover and scrapper. Shortly after, a countrywide crisis hit, and since regular services stopped being the norm, she learned to fend for herself, using her tire-removing tools, lighter, graffiti spray cans, and tires around the scrapyard to keep her family and friends safe from marauders. Soon after, she heard of El Campeonato de Lucha Roraima, known outside the country as the Venezuelan Warrior Championships, where she enrolled to win the prize and used the money to help her family during the crisis. It was a hard competition, but she emerged victorious and now faces her greatest challenge, the world's best fighters.
So we've got some really cool backstory for Kaina, and also some interesting blanks mechanically. The reason for this is because Azrael chose an interesting, very strange part of this whole Street Fighter setting in the White Wolf version of the game. He chose to deal with the Duelist Street Fighting Division, which is the division where you're allowed to use weapons. This is our goofy character generation option for today, so let's get right into it off the top. I mentioned briefly last episode that there is a traditionalist division of street fighting where you gather together to illegally beat each other up for money in the time-honored tradition of your respective peoples. Some of you do kung fu, some of you are boxers, some of you are sumo, and while you have your small departures from tradition, like beating the shit out of each other in a mixed martial arts environment in a cordoned off corner of a car park, you all basically abide by the traditions of your style, which means not really any fancy fireballs, no cybernetics, just good old flesh and blood legs kicking good old flesh and blood asses. Then you've got the freestyle division where people can be cyborgs, people are throwing fireballs around, people are teleporting, and people are still also doing traditional martial arts. It's just a grab bag, whatever you want to do. Except it's still at least tenuously, ostensibly street fighting. You know, even if it's a hovering psychic monk throwing fireballs at a mutant alligator, theoretically what we're doing here is bare knuckle street fighting. The duelist division goes beyond this. You can use weapons. You can use swords. You can use axes. Anything that isn't a firearm is allowed. And this is very broad indeed. There's actually art in the book, I'll put this on the Instagram, of a cyborg with a chainsaw arm competing in duelist competition. A chainsaw! I feel like maybe this is the root of the PR problem for the street fighting circuit. Like, MMA is a big hit. Professional wrestling, while not a legitimate competition, is extremely dangerous and ill-regulated, and it's popular and legal. You gotta wonder why street fighting is still underground. And it's probably because of the duelist division, where you've got unlicensed sociopaths without so much as a blood test having chainsaw fights. I feel like if you cut them off, kind of distanced yourself from that side of the sport, maybe the traditionalists and the freestyles could start getting their licenses from the athletics commission or whatever and make a go of it. But anyway, they've decided not to go that route. Duelists are a part of the overall street fighting circuit, and that's where Kaina competes. Her weapons are lighters, spray paint cans, and tires, because she is a tire remover by trade, works in a junkyard, and so when you go to fight her in her scrapyard, she'll fight you with her fists and her feet, but also sometimes she'll throw a goddamn burning tire at you. There's no rule against it. This is duelist street fighting. You're lucky she didn't hit you with a whole fucking car. Anyway, let's go ahead and go through the process and see how we can put together a street fighter who uses such strange weapons in this way. First of all, we'll start with the basics. For concept, typically that's like an adjective and a noun, and I'm going to be a little punny with this and call her a scrappy underdog. I really like the background detail that she won a local tournament and that sort of introduced her to the larger Street Fighter circuit. I like to think that Venezuela is not very connected to the global street fighting community, and so she's coming out of this somewhat smaller, somewhat more violent, perhaps, fighting community. By winning, she kind of catapults herself onto the international stage, where she's quite an underdog because she doesn't come from one of the big national martial arts traditions. But, you know, she's also bringing flaming tires, so that's quite an equalizer. Not a lot of martial arts teach a counter to flaming tires. Her name, of course, is Kaina. And her style, here's the interesting thing. Weapons don't really have anything to do with styles in this game. The weapon rules are in Street Fighter Contenders, which was, I think, the last supplement released for Street Fighter. There is a little sort of one-page thing here that describes like what weapons would be associated with what styles, but that's really just flavor, because what you do is you learn a technique, just like punching or kicking or grabbing, for your type of weapon. That technique gives you maneuvers that you can do. There are no special maneuvers associated with weapons, so it doesn't really matter what style you have. So I can really give Kaina any style I want. However, I do want to broaden her fighting abilities beyond her signature weapon, especially because mechanically there's just not a lot to it. Thrown weapons are very simple to implement in this game, so I want there to be more to her. So this is where I'm going to resort to Wikipedia to look up Venezuela martial arts and see if there's any indication of what sort of styles a Venezuelan fighter might use. Oh, this is interesting. There's something here called Juego del Garrote, guessing at the exact pronunciation there, but this is the garrote game, and it is a Venezuelan martial art that involves machete, garrote stick fighting, and knife fencing. There's no real counterpart to that in Street Fighter, and it's weapon-focused, which is what started this mess for us. Nothing's jumping out at me from Wikipedia here, except that there are a number of mixed martial artists from Venezuela, so I'm going to go ahead and do jiu-jitsu for Kaina. This isn't the greatest synergy because weapon-wielding street fighters can't use grabs, and grabs are a big part of jiu-jitsu, but, you know, they're thrown weapons, and it's not like Kaina's going to be carrying around one tire just waiting for an opportunity to throw it. She's also got the lighter and the spray can, both of which can be put in a satchel or whatever, so she'll have free hands sometimes. Anyway, jiu-jitsu it is. From there, we go on to her attributes. Naturally, physical has to be primary. I feel like dexterity is important for her because she needs to be fast, but she also needs good strength because that determines the range of her thrown attacks. So I'm going to keep her fairly balanced with three dots each in strength and stamina, and then I'm going to give her the extra dot, the fourth dot, in dexterity. She's got some experience with mechanics and like crafts and dealing with cars, and she was going to university, so I'm going to make mental her secondary. I'll maybe make her a little bit distractible and have that be a two dot attribute, and then I'll have both intelligence and wits at three. So she's like a quick and canny thinker, also bright, good with mechanics, good at science. That leaves social as tertiary, and I'm just going to put one dot in each, so she's average at charisma, manipulation, and appearance. I sort of like that she might be tricky, so I might come back and amp up manipulation later. I want to mention at this point, so I said that anything is legal in duelist street fighting. other than firearms. That's only ambiguously true. It was certainly that way in the earlier books in this series, but when it comes to contenders where they list all the different weapons, bows are specified as not allowed in the ring, or whatever's passing for a ring. Under thrown weapons, it says that, like firearms, thrown weapons are eschewed by honorable street fighters, which first of all is bullshit. Like, get off your high horse. We got street fighters out here spitting stomach acid at people, not to mention throwing fireballs. What's wrong with shuriken? What's wrong with a dart? Somehow that's not real martial arts, but we got this green motherfucker over here electrocuting people. Anyway, it's bullshit, first of all. Secondly, it's not totally clear that thrown weapons aren't allowed in competition. It doesn't say they aren't. It says bows aren't. It doesn't say thrown weapons aren't. It just says that honorable street fighters avoid them. So one of the things I kind of want to do with Kaina here, because she's from a different culture that isn't really involved with the mainstream street fighting subculture, it's all sort of new to her. I sort of like the idea that she's kind of an air bud, like maybe in character, it's just as it is out of character, where the rules don't say you can't throw a flaming tire at someone. They say you can't shoot a bow at someone. They say that you can't shoot a gun at someone, but nobody ever thought to make a rule about flaming tires. And I want to line up Kaina's personality and abilities with this, where, like, she's not a bad person, but maybe she's also not hung up on this very arbitrary sense of honor that these traditional martial artists go in for, especially because she's got more at stake, right? You've got a guy like Ryu who likes to stand on rooftops and look dramatic and, you know, perfect his fighting art and achieve human excellence, and that's why he fights. Kaina's got bills to pay. So if the rules don't say you can't throw a flaming tire, why not throw it, right? So, all right, now we're on to abilities. Already episode 3, you can tell, like, this is a bit of a perfunctory aspect of this system. Mainly, you fight in streets, but they actually did a relatively good job of paring down the World of Darkness abilities to ones that would see use in a Street Fighter game, so it's not so bad. Seems like Kaina's the kind of person who can really take care of herself and has had a lot of practical challenges in her life. She's very different from, like, Jacques Mousse, who we did last time, who is somebody who's got, like, one big professional skill and then probably had a lot of time for leisure. It seems like Kaina would be focused on getting shit done, which means she's going to focus on skills, then talents, then knowledges. She's actually got all the skills, most of them at relatively low levels. I gave her a dot of blind fighting. She's often out fighting in a scrapyard, maybe not always against the most scrupulous competition. I gave her drive 3. She works with cars. I think maybe she likes cars. She certainly knows things mechanically about cars. Leadership 1, I figure, like, as the person who's probably got the most on the ball in her family, and as somebody who kind of managed to earn their golden ticket, she's maybe evolved some leadership abilities because she's sort of taking charge in her community a bit. She's got a dot of security, because once again, you got a scrapyard, you got to know a little about keeping people out. And then I gave her 2 dots of survival, just because of the fact that she's had to go through a period where she's not been able to get essential services. Unlike other World of Darkness games, where survival is mostly reserved for, like, weirdo Gangrel who like to go run around wearing sunglasses in the woods, here in Street Fighter, sometimes apparently survival is just, like, whether it's the city or the country or what, you just know how to get by. And Kaina seems to know how to get by, so survival 2. I also think she's probably a little outdoorsy. For talents, I'm just trying to emphasize that she's scrappy and tricky and a survivor. She's got alertness 1 dot to make up for having only an average perception. She's got 1 dot of intimidation. You know, she is a very successful fighter, and maybe that can help her kind of back people off, avoid wasting valuable tires on them. She's got insight 2. She gets people, and she can sort of see what a fighter is about when she fights them. Streetwise 1. And Subterfuge 2, she is tricky. She knows how to misdirect. She knows how to go under the radar. As for knowledges, there is no science knowledge really in this game, at least not in the core abilities. And I see her as studying some kind of science maybe at university. So I've just put her points 2 in computer. She's proficient with using computers. And then 2 in medicine. I think maybe she's considering going into medicine or maybe being a vet. I don't know. But I sort of figure, like, that's where she's at. She likes cars. She likes computers. She likes science. She's good at math, she likes animals, and she wants to be a success in life, so she's got all these kind of STEM-related career opportunities available to her, and that's sort of what she's fighting for. Although it may turn out that she's better at fighting with flaming tires than she is at those things, and so if she becomes a world warrior, then that might throw her plans for university off course. Next up, we got backgrounds, and there's one I definitely want. I want arena. This is a background where you have your own arena to fight in. It's like your own stage in Street Fighter. This is really important for Kaina, because I don't know how many tires you can carry at once, but I know how many I can carry at once. Not enough to kill Zangief. So I need Kaina to be able to fight in a place where she can get some tires when she needs them. She can carry around her spray can and her lighters, obviously, but she needs those tires to be in the vicinity. when possible. As I've mentioned before in this series, Street Fighter is great about having very specific delineation of what each dot of each thing gives you. So I can just look up arena. How many dots of arena do I need to have these kind of facilities? One dot is like a ring set up in a garage or barn. She certainly needs more than that. Two dots is a modest ring set up in a dojo or other private place. Three dots is an area of some renown that some Street Fighters may seek out. I don't want that. Step back from three dots. I don't want people knowing that they're coming to fight Tire Girl in Tire Land. So two dots of arena is just fine. There are expanded rules for arenas in the player's guide, but I don't need to mess with that right now. That leaves Kaina with three dots of backgrounds. Based on the description of what kind of work she does and her family, I feel like resources is going to be one. She's not totally destitute, but she's like a little cash strapped. And I'm going to go ahead and give her manager two. I like the interplay here where, since she won a national tournament and now she's going on to the international stage with this very unconventional style, I sort of like the idea that a decent but not great manager managed to scout her and sort of pick her up and represent her. She really is going to need that, unlike some Street Fighters, unlike Jacques we talked about last time, who kind of approaches this as like a hobby and a thing he's passionate about personally, and so he wants to do all the work. Kaina's trying to get paid, and she's trying to win, and she doesn't know the international scene, nor is she particularly at her leisure to find out about it slowly. So it would suit her, I think, to have a manager represent her and just take a cut and sort of make sure that she's booking the right matches, negotiating the right pay, etc. And maybe this is like her rules lawyer too, who, goes and thumps the official underground illegal Street Fighter rulebook, pokes the illegal referee in the chest and is like, there's nothing in the rules that says she can't throw burning tires. And the referee shrugs and is like, it's not illegal. I mean, all of this is illegal, but it's, you know what I mean. So that takes care of backgrounds. Now we're on to techniques, and this is where it gets a little tricky. I'm going to consider spray paint and thrown to be two separate techniques. That's going to stretch her a little thin, but I think it's only fair. I mean, they're two wildly different physical actions. Thrown is an official technique in this game. Spray paint, understandably, is not. Although, per the rules in Street Fighter Contenders, quote, other techniques. Should the storyteller need other techniques, such as anti-tank weapons, she should feel free to develop them based on the examples here. I should feel free to add more techniques, and I'm going to. This is particularly going to be helpful because whereas weapons like swords and staves and stuff at least get basic maneuvers to go with them, they get, a jab strike, a fierce strike, a strong strike, and a berserk strike. Thrown weapons don't even get that. Like, not only are there no special maneuvers for thrown weapons, there are not even any basic maneuvers. It's just one thing. You just throw a thing. So to lend a little variety, I feel like I can have maneuvers for a spray can. Even though it's not strictly a melee weapon, it's short range, so it feels reasonable. And that gives a little variety to Kaina's repertoire. This does mean, because I'm splitting these into two techniques, that Kaina is going to be strapped for points, especially because jiu-jitsu, this is bullshit. The styles introduced in the Contenders book are nonsense. They're weird, they don't fit the template from the other books. Jiu-jitsu is one of them, and unlike other styles, jiu-jitsu gives you some free moves, but it also requires that you take certain techniques. So you have to take grab 2 and athletics 2 automatically. That's 4 of her 8 dots right there, which is also too bad because she doesn't do a lot of grabs. Although, as I'm developing the concept here, I do think that she will throw flaming tires or just, regular non-flaming tires pretty frequently. But I also think maybe she's going to throw people into things a lot. I think she might, for example, set up some kind of obstacle or like junk heap from whatever's in the scrapyard and then throw or suplex people into it. I'm getting a little bit of inspiration for Kaina here actually from pro wrestling in Puerto Rico, where if you ever listen to interviews with pro wrestlers who've come out of that system, at least in the old days, I don't know about now, pro wrestling in Puerto Rico is like very aggressive. The crowds there are very in your face and they like in your face wrestling. And so sometimes wrestling in Puerto Rico just like gives people a different style when they pass through that system. And I sort of see that as being the case here, that maybe the fighting style coming out of Venezuela is making a little more use of the environment, is a little less staid and a little less concerned with like making sure everything is cricket. So I can definitely see her not just throwing people, but throwing people into things as a way to win a match. I think that'll really set her apart from the other combatants in this series. So anyway, grab 2, athletics 2. She needs to be able to block at least a little bit. So I'm going to give her a dot of block. That only leaves her 3. And so I'm going to say thrown 2, spray paint 1. She's really stretched thin here. So I'm going to have to come back with freebies and kind of up some of these later. The good news is I get 2 maneuvers, break, fall, and throw for free. And indeed, we're on to special maneuvers now. So there's one quite interesting and tricky move called the air throw. This is where you jump up to intercept somebody who's also jumping and throw them to the ground. Unfortunately, jump is its own maneuver in this game. You can't jump like a Street Fighter automatically, which on the one hand, okay, understandable. Jumping good is a trained skill. I've seen Samurai Jack. On the other hand, it's a basic move in the arcade game, and so it sucks that you gotta spend some of your precious maneuver points on it in the tabletop version. But I'm willing to make that sacrifice. So I'm gonna go ahead and buy jump for Kaina. That's an athletics maneuver. She already gets throw for free, and with those two moves under her belt, she's allowed to buy air throw. 1 point, plus another one to get jump, which I wanted anyway. Unfortunately, the other thing she had to buy two dots in, athletics, she gets no attack maneuvers based on athletics from jiu-jitsu. What is this bullshit? Force me to spend 2 points in a technique and then don't give me any moves from that technique? Nonsense. And I don't want to overinvest in grabs, because if she's holding a tire or a spray can or a lighter, then she can't grab or throw at all. So I'm going to go outside the traditional realm of jiu-jitsu, and I'm going to give Kaina a move that anybody can buy, albeit at a premium. This move is called Air Smash. It's an athletics move, or as it's colloquially known, as the book tells us, the Butt Crush. The Butt Crush is usually used by large fighters. You jump at somebody and you land on them, and most fighters choose to land seated, thus the Butt Crush, which, by the way, also is the name of a Tiger Beat-style magazine for sexy sumo wrestlers, Butt Crush magazine. But anyway, I think Kaina is relatively small, but she can still take this move. I mean, once again, as I keep saying, there's nothing in the rules that says you can't. You can take Air Smash if you're a small fighter, and I think it's even funnier. I'm sort of envisioning this as a Fez press. A lot of pro wrestling references in this episode. What did you expect? It's about fighting, and the only kind of fighting I really know is fake fighting, so this is my frame of reference. Look up the Fez press if you want. T-H-E-S-Z, named after the famous Lou Fez, of course. Basically, you just jump at somebody with your legs splayed and tackle them. With like a full body tackle that knocks them down. So I'm going to give Kaina the Air Smash. I think she likes to use this from ambush a lot, and it's something that surprises people. So if they decide to come at her with a tactic that they don't think she's going to be ready for, they think maybe they've gotten her away from her precious tires or whatever, she just fucking jumps on them like a rabid monkey right onto their chest and just knocks them the fuck over. That costs 2 points. This leaves me with 3 points. I definitely want to spend one of them on a combo, a move to flaming tire combo. This is important because, you know, if this were a video game, she could just pull a tire out of nowhere and throw it at you whenever. But this is a tabletop game of gothic street fighting storytelling, this being 1990s White Wolf. And that cartoony shit, you leave it for the arcade. Here, we have to clearly establish within the dramatic fiction where she's getting these tires and how she's setting them on fire. That means she may have to move around the arena to go to a source of tires before she can throw one. And I imagine that this flaming tire attack involving her spray can and a lighter and a tire is fairly slow. So I figure give her a move to flaming tire combo. That way she can run over to where the tires are and still have a chance to get that attack off at some kind of decent speed. That leaves me with one more point to spend. And actually, as I've been looking through this weapon section, creating this character, I noticed there actually is a garrote in this game. And the garrote uses the grab technique, which I have because I was mandated to have it. So, you know what? This isn't on me. It's on you, game. You think throwing tires is only dubiously honorable in a street fighting competition? You think melee weapons are more honorable? Well, guess what? Get ready to play the juego de garrote, because secretly, Kaina has a garrote to use in a tight situation, and she's got a block to garrote combo. The garrote is a very nasty weapon in this game. If it inflicts 5 or more damage on the first attack, or it takes someone by surprise, then if you continue to choke them with it, they can't soak subsequent damage, so they don't get to subtract their stamina from the damage you inflict. So it's a great weapon for surprising people, and this is something I think she'll keep in the back pocket, maybe literally, until she needs to pull out a win. I sort of like the dramatic arc being built for this character, which is that her fighting style is very unconventional and based on surprise somewhat, and so part of her success is going to be coming up with surprises to keep taking her opponents off guard as she sort of rises through the ranks of more and more trained and disciplined and wary fighters. And you know what? Don't feel bad for her opponents. I can just hear you out there thinking, oh, well, a garrote, lighters, spraying people in the face with spray cans. This doesn't seem fair. This doesn't seem like a reasonable street fighting tactic. She's in the duelist division. Some of these people have trained bears. Some of these people have chainsaws for arms. She needs every edge she can get. She didn't create this hell world. Whatever psychopathic VP of the International Street Fighter Organization decided there should be a duelist division, they did this. It's their world. She's just trying to survive in it and win some prize money. Anyway, that's it for special maneuvers. Now we're on to renown. I'm going to put all 3 points in glory. I don't think she buys into the code of honor of this weird subculture. She also doesn't need to recharge chi because she doesn't use chi for anything. That's one of the main uses for honor. And I think she's got high glory because she's such an up-and-comer. She's somebody who came out of nowhere and changed the whole game. So yeah, big, big glory for Kaina. For freebie points, they're definitely not going in maneuvers. I'd love to give her that extra dot of manipulation, but honestly, I've got to buy up some of these techniques. She's got nothing above a 2 right now, and that's not going to cut it. I think her athletics is okay where it is. I'd love for grab to be a little higher, but I just can't quite afford it. She's mainly using her weapon, so I'm going to bring her spray paint up to 3 and her throne up to 3. And I'm not going to bore you with it on mic, but I'm going to come up with some custom maneuvers for her spray cans and for her tires, flaming and non-flaming. There's going to be a lot of homebrew involved in this character, as befits her unconventional fighting style. And once again, the game's asking for it. I mean, you tell me I can fight with any non-firearm weapon, you better either come with a compendium of weird-ass weaponry, or get ready to have your ass homebrewed. That's just the way it is. Maybe I'm feeling a little bit defensive here. I don't know. We're getting far afield from core rules, but, you know, big wide open gaps for us to fill. Finally, we get some details for the character. We need to define her appearance. And let me say first thing, this is something I'm recording after the rest of the episode you've just listened to. I've had to come back to this later because Azrael was kind enough to give me a whole Google Doc about Kaina, then sent me audio to play in the episode. When I did the main episode, I just listened to the audio and then went from there. Kaina's appearance is in the doc, and when I went back to the doc, I found some details about the character in there that I either had forgotten or maybe weren't there when I initially read it. So I'm going to break with format slightly, and we're going to do appearance and quirks and stuff and kind of try to work in everything else that Azrael has given me about Kaina that we haven't covered so far. So let's go ahead and start with that appearance. Per Azrael, she is female, caramel color skin, long dark black hair, brown eyes, and 159 centimeters tall. For those of us in countries still using the imperial measurement system, that equates to about 46 crumpets or about 2.7 hogs bodies, if you prefer. It also says here under quirks that Kaina is lighthearted, friendly, and welcoming, finds a joke on everything to the point of it being counterproductive, appearance aware, and swears more than she should. I like Kaina a lot. I wish she were real so I could have her on the podcast. Appearance aware doesn't necessarily mean that she's got a high appearance, but typically when I run World of Darkness games, I think of the appearance stat as relating to your ability to control and use your appearance, more so than just your pure attractiveness, although that is a factor. And so I'm inclined to make an appearance-aware person have a higher appearance, because she's more conscious of and in control of how she looks. I really don't have the freebie points for that, because she's stretched so thin on techniques. If I'd been looking at this at the beginning of the episode, I think I would have made her social stats her secondary and then done mental as her tertiary. But we are where we are. I do like the sort of detail that she's like a smart cookie who was considering an academic path and now this other thing has presented itself. So we're just going to leave appearance at 2, but it's something she's maybe looking to raise. I'm actually kind of interested in the idea that maybe now that she's elevated to the world stage, and this being Street Fighter, she's up against a lot of stylish fighters. And, you know, body image, like, we can't all be Cammy, and maybe that would be something that would weigh on somebody's mind. So I think maybe she's looking to raise that appearance, although when she'll get to it, I don't know, for reasons we're about to discuss. While this doc does specify Kaina's tire attacks and her spray can attacks and her lighter, it also says that for close range attacks, she uses a 4-way lug wrench. Now, it's just as well that I either forgot about or didn't see this when I recorded the beginning of the episode, because Kaina really doesn't have enough technique points to add a third weapon in. However, I think this fits in with her arc, where she's got to move from this very scrappy, surprise-based, big stunts, scrapyard-dependent style into something that is sustainable, into a winning strategy against world warriors as she develops. So I think that using the lug wrench, which is maybe something she's done in just an unskilled, you know, just like you or I, just like a layman would hit someone over the head with a lug wrench, maybe she's done that in the past, she can develop that part of her fighting style as she becomes a more seasoned fighter and develop a really reliable, solid melee weapon so that she's not as reliant on her weirder weapons as she develops. So I actually quite like that a lot. See, it wasn't a mistake. It was one of those happy accidents Bob Ross is always talking about when he paints those pictures of people burning other people with aerosol cans and a lighter. The only other thing here that I didn't manage to cover, and I'm sure that I'm going to be dinged points for this, Azrael also really liked the rolling attack from Street Fighter and wondered if she could maybe have the rolling attack. She can't. Not at this stage, because it is too damn expensive. So I hope that the air smash, aka the butt crush, the Thez press that I've given her, kind of scratches that itch for like a flying straight ahead, like weirdly aggressive flying attack for a woman who is a scant 2.7 hog's bodies tall. But I didn't exactly get the rolling attack. So that's where we're at. I do apologize. And maybe, you know what? Once I level her up to a world warrior, maybe she'll get the rolling attack, along with the ability to beat people up with a lug wrench and a makeover. It's the life path that we all dream of. We need to define equipment for this character, and obviously that's going to include multiple spray paint cans, multiple lighters, a garrote. I think she's got a backpack full of spares of some of these things, and that'll also allow her to sort of smuggle some other unexpected items into the matches if need be. And I think she's also got a Jeep. I think that's her vehicle so that she can like go off-road with it. She can go all over the place. It's reliable. It's kind of beat up, but she can get wherever she needs to go. And probably it's like a better vehicle than she could normally afford, but she fixed it up herself. For quirks, I think I'm going to just build on like she probably learned jiu-jitsu for practical self-defense. And I like to think that she had like somewhat of a shady teacher who, per Ninjas and Super Spies, where it talked about like sometimes when you learn jiu-jitsu, they teach you like use your keys in a fight, throw dirt at people in their eyes. She had a sensei who taught her like, yeah, grabs, throws, fall, trip, blah, blah, blah. But mainly just like do whatever you need to do to stay safe out there. And was very happy to encourage her to develop this eclectic fighting style where like if I ever get jumped, I know how to find the best thing to throw somebody into. I know how to palm something and then jab somebody with it when they're not expecting it. That's jiu-jitsu, broadly speaking. So yeah, I'm happy with quirks for this character. And of course, she needs her signature, her victory pose. I think she's a little bit of a showboat. So I think after she wins, she likes to do like gouts of flame into the air with her lighter and her spray can to pop the crowd. Yeah, that's good. And that's it. Now all that remains is to turn to Azrael to find out what he thinks about my handling of Kaina.
Thank you, Chris. I must say, I'm pretty happy with the build you gave Kaina. You thought of things that I didn't even consider, and she turned out great. There's nothing else that I can say. I know you said that you would be deducted score points and things like that for not including the rolling attack, but to be honest, you did include it. When I thought about it, I envisioned it that the tire will be the one rolling, and you got that covered. I know it's not exactly the same mechanically as this, what the thing is on the system, but I have no idea what the system is about, so my score for you is a solid A.
Congratulations!
Join me next time as we discuss a new challenger on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. And by the way, if you enjoyed Azrael's contribution to this episode, you may want to hear more of him elsewhere. So Azrael was kind enough to provide a quick plug for his show in case you're interested in that. Give that a listen, and I'll catch you next time.
Thank you, Chris, for letting me have a bit of harmless fun while sharing a little bit of my culture. Your podcast is at the top of my queue every time a new episode releases. And you really make it fun to learn about what makes a good RPG through all the pages of a really, let's say, unpolished RPG. And speaking of unpolished, hello, dumbheads. If you enjoy MDC, the Mega Dumbcast, and you speak Spanish, you might want to give a listen to another dumbheads podcast called Rolero Casual. Here's the tagline. Damas y caballeros de todas las especies, esto es Rolero Casual, donde exploramos los juegos de rol desde la ignorancia. Yo soy Azrael, el Domhead que trajo a Kaina Araya a MDC. Nos vemos en Apple Podcasts o donde consigas tu podcast, como Rolero Casual y en rolerocasual.com. Have a great day, guys, and thank you so much, Chris, for allowing me to be a part of your project. Can't wait to hear from all other countries and cultures. This has been a blast. Thanks, man.
Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you, who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Saw Square Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.